Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Okay, so Larry King, broadcaster and icon, dies at the age of 87 after a COVID-19 battle. Did anyone know he had COVID?
Yeah.
No.
You knew?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Didn't have very long.
No.
It was like a week.
Legendary TV and radio host who conducted more than 30,000 interviews.
Damn.
In his 60-year career. If only we could have had him train AJ.
That'd have been nice.
That Cyndi Lauper interview would not have gone that way.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
He died in L.A. at the age of 87. King started his career in radio as a disc jockey in Miami.
Wow.
Before finding fame with the Larry King Show, the nationally syndicated late-night radio show. And I remember driving home from this radio station, listening to his show. And it was just very exciting to hear phone calls coming in from all over the country. It connected the country.
Yeah. Cleveland, you're on the air.
That's right.
Yep.
It debuted in 1978. 1985, Larry King Live premiered on CNN, became the big show there.
Yeah.
Here he is on Late Night with Conan O'Brien in 1995.
I never wanted to be anything else but a broadcaster. Finally, I get hired at a small station in Miami Beach, and I get a job as a disc jockey. A small radio station, the general manager calls me in. He says, well, you ready? I said, I'm ready. He says, this is your big day. You're starting radio. I'm 22 years old. Yes. He says, what name are you going to use? I says, Larry Zeiger. He says, you can't use that. It's ethnic. People won't know how to spell it. They won't remember it. Mm-hmm. And he had the Miami Herald open. It was an ad for King's Wholesale Liquors. Uh-huh. He says, why don't you take Larry King?
So you're named after a sale on booze.
I am named after a vast liquor sale.
Hey, it worked.
Wish I had handy the clip where AJ says, hi, this is AJ, AJ Mano. Or AJ, that's what happens when you start a new name on a new night.
Right.
I mean, we all go through that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought Charlie's not a great radio name.
And then your program
Charlie Faze. Like, I'm going to have to switch this. You know, this Charlie.
When your program director walks in with a sign and says, you are AJ, and puts it right in front of you on the board.
Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. I just heard...
Wait, this was after the clip, though,
after
right?
After I said that, yeah, all of a sudden, like, within, like, 5 minutes, there was our
a
program
sign.
Director, Matt, with a big piece of paper that said, you are AJ, written in Sharpie.
You are
and
AJ.
And put it right smack in front of him. He goes, this might help.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. You got to laugh at that. That's great.
You don't have that handy, do you, Phil?
No, I think that lives in your computer
somewhere. It's going to take me a minute to find it, so we'll just keep moving because it's all about Larry King.
Exactly
right,
on me.
All right, Larry King's final interview.
I have been at the head table of life. I've seen evil and good. I've seen bad things and nice things.
What was that noise?
Respirator? No idea.
Did anyone else hear it?
Yeah. Bubbles.
Hear what?
Go ahead. Start from the beginning, please.
I have been at the head table of life. I've seen evil and good. I've seen
the hell
bad
is that?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a goldfish nearby. Is he in a bubble? Maybe he's in a bath.
Is he poofing? He's blowing bubbles?
Oh, my God.
Maybe wow. Seinfeld.
So weird. All right, go ahead.
I've seen bad things and nice things. I get a chance to interview so many people and world leaders. Hey, I've been doing it. 63 years.
Wait, why are you laughing?
Why are they doing that?
I don't know.
I'm not a fan of the music behind anyway, but if it's going to have sound effects that are distracting,
leave a clip alone.
Leave it out. Yep.
It is so distracting.
These professors of communications, they just need to teach people, leave it alone.
Right, don't touch it.
The person is enough.
Yeah.
That's all we want to hear. You got to put music. Now they're adding sound effects.
Right.
Bubble sound effects.
Right. Bubbles.
I'm picturing
Is he in a submarine?
Yeah. I'm picturing little goldfish, like, nipping at the microphone.
Right.
I think I've been taking a bubble bath.
All right.
63 years. I've interviewed physicists and Nobel Prize winners and heads of state. I'm still just as curious as always. That's the one thing that kept me going, is curiosity. My endless search to learn more never left me. And that has kept me going, and that might be one of the reasons I've gone this far in life, is that I'm insatiably...
Someone cleaning up behind him? What the hell is going on with this clip?
I think he's baking a bundt cake.
Yeah, I'm making banana bread.
That's the bundt cake.
He's in the kitchen. He's got water boiling.
Right, yeah.
He's making taking dinner. The banana bread out.
Right, while his wife plays ragtime on the piano.
Jeez. Very busy clip.
I'm going to make bundt cake and do an interview while you blow bubbles and play the ragtime.
It's that metal bundt cake mold. He's right.
Exactly right.
If you know, good bundt cake. And use this clip, like okay? It. If I pass and anyone cares enough to say, we should play a clip of Chaz, no music.
Are you sure?
No bubbles.
Really? How about bundt cake?
If you're going to play sounds, play fart sounds, okay? Just like
harp?
Make it funny.
Can we have
can we do the
cake?
Mouth harp?
Yeah.
Bow, 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 bow.
Yeah.
Jeez. Play fart sounds.
Play fart sounds. No music.
Only to accentuate a sentence.
All right, then let's play this clip from Larry King announcing his successor.
I can now fully put the rumors to rest and to put the television pundits in their place by announcing tonight that I have finally decided who will replace me and sit in this coveted seat. No, friends, it's not my dear friend Regis Philbin, who has been such an ardent supporter of mine during my 50 years in broadcasting. I know Regis will be crushed to find out that my replacement will be the casino entertainment impresario, Tom Cantone. Tom's been an innovative genius in the world of casino entertainment, and I think he'll be able to apply his innovative thinking to the broadcasting world. So... Tom Cantone Live is next. Let's go to the phones. Altoona, go ahead.
Altoona.
Well, clearly Tom declined the job.
Right.
And Tom Cantone from Mohegan Sun is on the phone right now. Obviously a prank, but you guys had to have been very close for him to do that for you.
You can tell Regis, though.
You know, just listening to that made me laugh because I morphed immediately into the setup. And the setup was, you know, I had Regis ready to go on stage. And we had the bit all set up with his manager and the TV in his dressing room. And so right before he's ready to get on, he's a little nervous. He's not even paying attention. So we cue it right where you just started it. I said, oh, wait a minute. Look, listen, here's his successor. And his manager says, yeah, listen, because Regis was always, you know, concerned about who was going to replace him, even him, rumors, Katie Couric, all that. And it was so set up perfectly. He stares and stops, stunned, and I'm standing right there. And the look on his face after Larry just announced it was the funniest thing. He looked at me, he said, Cantone, you know, and he shook his head. It was just a really perfectly set up bit. But yes, I called Larry to do it. He didn't even hesitate. I mean, I thought he was going to do something just real quick, but he really produced it. And, you know, it worked to the great bit. It really was.
I mean, I know you work in casino and everybody knows you and you work with Sinatra and just let's, you know, anyone you can name. But how do you have Larry King's phone number?
Actually, I did a show when I was in Atlantic City, you know, so we go back a long time. And he just was that guy that, you know, everybody knew. And I got to know him a little bit and we became friends. And he actually really helped me out one time. I did a big HBO tribute to Sugar Ray Robinson. And at the last minute, he got sick. And by the way, he had heart trouble and other issues. I know they counted it as COVID, but, you know, 86 years old. You know, people are going to have pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, he wasn't the healthiest person out there.
No, and he said he regretted not taking care of himself better. But if you make it to 86, 87.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good.
Not bad.
That's nice.
Yeah, but he had to stop saying I do 8 times, though. You know, I think God
8 times, 7 women.
Yeah.
You want to come up here? And he says, I do. That was the final I do. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
But, you know, eight times he was married. Yeah, same woman. He wasn't really, you know, I don't think he got that part right. But, you know, just a great guy. And at the last minute, he got sick. Actually, he had heart trouble. And I said, what do I do? I got an HBO show tomorrow. I produced this whole thing. I got every fighter in the world coming, the biggest names, this thing, you know. So he said, call Bob Costas. I told Bob, you know, that you'd be calling. So I called Bob Costas. Bob flew in, while he was taking a shower in the dressing room.
I thought you were going to say something else, but go ahead. I heard he was taking a
right. Drinks a lot of coffee.
Shower.
Drinks a lot of coffee.
Shower.
Yeah, this is happening. Yeah.
Tom Cantone, Mohegan Sun's on. We're talking about Larry King. Go ahead, Tom.
I said, Bob, you need a towel. I went over the whole show with him while he was showering. That's how great he was. It blew it. Well, the show went off perfectly, but if it wouldn't have been for Larry, I'd have been stuck. You know, so he got a replacement within seconds, and it all worked out. But yeah, I just, you know, we all grew up with him. He got criticized for softball interviews and all that stuff, but it was entertaining.
I got to tell you something. Sorry to interrupt you, but his interview with Frank Sinatra, no one could have done that interview. The vibe that he had was with Sinatra was just two guys talking, and he got more out of Sinatra. You know, they only played an hour of it, but he had a 3-hour sit down with him. Wow. was really insightful. And it was the most comfortable I've ever seen Sinatra in an interview.
Took his shirt off and everything.
And if you're going to hit a home run, you want to hit it with Frank Sinatra.
Yes,
some big name like that.
Yes,
you know?
Do. Yes.
Seinfeld, that interview, that's when you could tell, like when Muhammad Ali started losing a step here and there. You could tell he did no research on this. He asked Seinfeld, so were you canceled?
So my method.
Now, everybody knows, and you don't have to look far to see that they went out on top.
Uh-huh.
And Seinfeld popped a gasket on him, and then they went to commercial.
Yeah, he did.
But, you know, when you do 30,000 interviews, you're going to have a Cyndi Lauper, right, AJ?
Exactly.
That's right.
See, even the greats.
So I got mine out of the way first.
All right. You get all your bad ones done early.
Now I got to do 30,000
all A-plus from here. Uh-huh.
So, Tom, you knew Larry for a long time. How many of his wives have you met? And did you ever get the name wrong?
Oops, that was the last one.
Did I call you June and my Ginger?
Hold it.
That's why I come up with Mo all the time. I call everybody Mo because
That's right.
I just don't know their names, and they know me, and I feel bad if I don't know. Hey, Mo, how you doing? Now I got everybody saying that. And there's a Moho
That's
Club.
That's brilliant.
You know, you belong to the Moho Club. You're in, you know.
Hey, Mo!
But going back. Hey, Mo.
Hey, Mo. Hey, Mo.
Ow. It worked. Now my whole staff called, and then now we've morphed into Mozarama. Say, Mozarama, how you doing?
Oh, that's funny.
Next is Mo Palooza.
I think he missed an opportunity at the end of his career. It would have been brilliant to have his 7 ex-wives interview him all at the same time.
They did in court.
That would have been great. I would have pay-per-view. I would have signed up for that one. But do you want to hear the run through?
Yeah.
So his first marriage was Frieda Miller, 1952 to 53.
A.K.A. Mo.
Wow, the whole year.
Quick. Mo.
Quick.
Year. 18.
Mo. That was Mrs.
Right.
Mo.
He was eight. Mo. Mrs. Mo. He was 18.
Okay.
Wow. Annette Kay, 61 to 61.
Oh, no.
Wow, even shorter. Wow.
Super quick.
Aileen Akins, 61 to 63.
Okay, a little longer there.
Wow, 61. He was busy.
But back to back.
That's
like,
right.
There's not even a year in between.
That's a good catch, Phil. So he was married, divorced, and married to someone else all in the same year.
Right.
That is wild.
It was a busy year.
Mickey Stufen, 64 to 67. So he cracked the 2-year mark with that one. So it's like, all right, we're at 3 years now.
Right.
Aileen Akins, again, second time, 68 to 71.
Wow.
Sharon Lepore, 76 to 83. So now he's in the 7-year range.
Nice. Okay.
Good.
Yep.
Very good.
It's getting there.
Julie Alexander, 89 to 92. And then this last one, Sean Southwick, 97 to 2019.
Wow.
So she lasted more than all of the other marriages combined.
He was too tired to leave.
Yeah. Well, they had problems too. That was, remember, there was the baseball coach.
Yeah.
And then there was another one.
Yeah.
That there was a rumored deal. And those were the only two that we heard about. Who knows how many there were, but
who knows?
He filed for a divorce, but they were still married when he died.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get some money?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we jokingly say, in the words of Larry King, I won't keep it long.
This will just take a minute.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Tom, thanks. We got to get you back on. I was actually going to have you on later today to come on with Gianni Russo.
No one can. No one. I just want to sit and listen to his stories. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And I've had the good fortune of being with him on many occasions. And, you know, there are a few people in show business that you just want to sit and listen. You don't want to interrupt. You don't want to talk. You just want to try and remember it all. I can't believe he remembers details and dates and names and everything. He's a Mo to me. I just don't know his name. But, no, he just really keeps going on and on. And there are certain people that are like that. Tony Orlando's like that, too.
Well, I want to thank Tom Cantone, Mohegan Sun's on. He introduced me to Gianni.
Right.
And I thought, well, we'll have Gianni on. It'll be fun.
Right.
We had him on a Monday, and we've had him on 5 or 6 Mondays since.
Exactly.
And we're still not even close.
He is Monday.
Easiest person to prep for, you grab that book, you open it up to any page.
Yeah.
Read 3 or 4 words.
Who's this guy?
Right here.
Yeah. Right.
International money man, 86 million heist. I'm like, okay, that's what we're talking to him about an hour from now.
Cool.
Real quick before we let you go, Tom, sorry, man, we're a little pressed here. The McGregor fight.
Ooh.
McGregor.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Anyone can beat anyone at any time.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy was confident and he got him, you know, so. You know, he got what was coming to him. But, you know, from what I saw, you know, the guy didn't. He said at the press conference something really important. He said he bleeds like anybody else. He realized when he was fighting him that he's just another man like him. So, you know, when you get the psyche thing going, anybody can beat anyone in sports on any given day. You know, so I'm just looking forward to the Super Bowl. You know, I didn't watch the NFL all season. All of a sudden I got into it now because Tom Brady is proving to everybody at 43 what you can do with talent. And I just want to see him go all the way now. I'm not a Patriots fan or anything, but it's a great story, you know. So anyway, in the words of Larry King, I won't keep you long. I know you have to get going. So.
Clock in a toilet is one thing. Texting your husband on the radio is another thing. Why would you even do that?
In case you went to use the toilet later, that you would know that there was a situation this morning, honey. I apologize.
Oh, situation. No.
So, what happened?
Well, I just, you know, there was business to be tended to this morning, and there was far more paperwork involved than I anticipated.
Oh, well, we know what that means.
Oh, yeah, like going to DMV, and, for example.
No, it was like it was a breakfast sausage, so just stop that. But I went to flush, and then it didn't do anything. And I said, oh, let me do it again. And then I flushed a second time, and it just made it worse, and all the water was flying to the top, so I just shut the water off behind the toilet. I didn't have time to, you know, address the situation. So that's what I did.
So you left the lid open, and now the cats are playing with it.
Right. That's an interesting toy you have there.
Maybe they'll dice it up so it'll go down easier later.
It's a Mr. Hanky
toy. We'll shred it.
Yeah. We've all been there.
All right.
The chocolate mouse.
Right.
Chocolate?
Look, apparently it's too dirty.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, hon.
Well, thanks.
There's
this thing. It's called a plunger.
Right.
I didn't have time. This is literally like 3 minutes before I had to leave the house.
It's a good workout.
I turned the water off, so I didn't worsen anything.
If you're not well versed in a plunger, there's splashes. You have to be very careful.
Well versed.
Yeah. Not well versed with the plunger.
Attack it like a harbor street.
One of my favorite stories is you clogged a toilet at some guy's house. You were just starting to date, and it was this beautiful house with these fancy, you know, antique carpets and all this.
Yes.
And then
it was a house that he
clogged, and the overflows, and the water comes out, and it's all over the carpets.
Oh, no.
They never found the duty.
Right.
What? I never what? Found the duty.
Never found the duty. No.
Did you find an old Snickers bar on the couch?
At some point, someone's moving something, and they found a Jennifer's petrified poo.
It must be a Baby Ruth bar.
Oh, it was a chocolate mouse.
I found a Baby Ruth bar under the couch. It's awesome.
Is that a chocolate mouse?
It tastes different, but it's probably still dry.
That's a big caterpillar.
A long raisin.
I don't know what kind of bug it was, but it was a big one.
It was really furry.
It turned white after a couple of days.
Why does it turn white?
I don't know.
What happens? Why does it turn white?
I don't know.
Let's ask the science
guy. I guess, as we get older,
that's brilliant.
As we get older, our hair turns white. So I'm guessing, you know, the same thing. It's a product of us.
It's like in the older part of its life stage.
Exactly right. Right.
Yeah, it's like a human. I'm going to turn to dust soon.
It goes to bed earlier, you know. It gets up earlier. You know, wonders why little turds don't call.
It eats a lot more oatmeal now than it ever used to.
Yes, it becomes more regular. Yes,
prunes.
Right, loves Matlock.
Oh my God! Wow. Okay.
At least she let you know, so you didn't walk in later to your house and
think something was the matter
when your socks are wet.
So, there are mornings that she forgets the flush, and I walk in and I'm like,
what?
Oh, no, it's a little peep. It's not poop.
Okay.
Peep's okay. You don't have to flush peeps.
Peep's okay.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
No.
What is it? If it's yellow, it's not. Let it mellow.
If it's brown, flush it down, right?
Some of that is true, but there have been times, and I thought, I'm going to take a picture and send it to her.
You have.
How do you have in lunch?
I did once, and I thought, yeah, I probably shouldn't.
What are you having for lunch today?
If I ever want to have.
Chad's back to the toilet. Chad's back to the toilet all the time upstairs.
Goodbye. Gianni Russo on Godfather actor. He's been with Marilyn Monroe and friends with Frank Sinatra. He's had a few mob-related associates.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about Larry King, who passed over the weekend. Good morning, Gianni.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good,
morning.
Thank you.
Doing good, man. Thank you.
Did you know Larry King?
I knew Larry for many, many years, and at one time he couldn't figure out. I'd see him at Nate and Al's on Cannon Drive in Beverly Hills, and then when he came to New York to work, I live on 61st Street. He used to stay at the Regency Hotel. So when I'd be walking down the street, he used to go to that diner, this little diner. I guess he likes diners, on Madison Avenue, probably the oldest diner. And he saw me, he says, you live here too? I said, yeah, I have a couple of places. He said, I'd like to bring you on the show. I said, I have nothing to say. He never asked me again.
That was good.
You have nothing to say.
Right. I'm like, okay.
Well, at that time, I couldn't talk yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah. That's
you don't
why.
Make the wrong people mad.
Exactly.
Right.
I did the same thing to Johnny Carson.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Johnny Carson. I used to have a party in my house in Vegas every Monday night. Because that's when most of the showrooms were closed. So it got to be, you got to get invited to Johnny's house. It was on the Las Vegas Country Club. So around 11 o'clock at night, the guard calls from the gate. And he says, Mr. Russo, Johnny Carson's here. I stopped. I said, leave me alone. I hung up on him. So then he called again, and my houseboy comes
to me.
Why?
Did you think he was pranking you? Like, Johnny Carson's not really.
Well, yeah, Johnny Carson does that. So I said, listen, leave me alone. So my houseboy answers the phone now. I said, well, you tell him to stop. He can't come in. So I never did Carson. I did 23 Merv Griffin shows, but never did Carson. These guys hold grudges.
A little bit. Wow. A little bit. Yep.
I would have let him in.
But I didn't know at 11. I was already jammed. I mean, I had Pat Cooper that night as my bartender. Used to have a guest bartender every Monday night. And Pat Cooper was breaking everybody up. It was insane.
Oh,
but
wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, I would have looked around and said, you.
Yeah.
You got to go stand outside for an hour so Johnny can come in.
Right.
Yeah.
What about, which one was it that just died? Siegfried or Roy or?
Siegfried?
Oh, Siegfried and Roy. Oh, yeah, they're great guys.
Siegfried. Yeah,
they just Roy died first, and then Siegfried died right after him.
Did you know those guys?
Oh, my God. They were at my house all the time. In fact, there's a story in my book When they came one time, they brought one of the animals with them.
Are you serious?
I said, Roy, are you sure? He said, oh, no, no, don't worry about it. And I didn't know.
Like
one
a big
of the
animal?
Girls,
I brought the kitty.
Well, the original Tiger Kings.
I brought the kitty.
Yeah, yeah, they used to walk around with them.
Yeah.
But anyway, I met them when they were first at the Stardust Hotel when they first came over from Germany. And then Steve Wynn built them the big room in the Mirage. But they were at my house every week. They were like, they loved it.
And
but Monday night, there's
animal?
Nothing to do anywhere.
Right.
So they brought the animal one time.
It's like if you have a cat or a dog,
white,
it's like, I got to put my cat away.
A Siberian tiger.
Nice.
Ooh,
and, but it was a small one. And, I was just sitting in this cove. I had this, like, cove in my living room. And people would stop and we'd talk and whatever. I filmed it all, too. It was called Welcome to My Lifestyle. And I sold it to NBC for a while. But the interesting thing, this was long before The Godfather. And so there was a woman, how do I say this tonight? So it was a woman in my company that was that time of the month.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the cat smelt it.
Oops.
And it got reared up. And I said, Roy, you sure you got this? He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Next, I know the cat's lunging in the air. So I had a cat. I used to have a black leopard, 185 pounds. So I knew how to handle him. So the cat's in the air. I sucker punch the cat right below his ear, which closes him down.
Oh, wow.
The cat's knocked out. He thought I killed him. Roy's laying on the floor with him, hugging him and kissing him. I mean, I've had so many great experiences. That house was nuts anyway.
I love that you, not love, but we should list the various assaults.
Right.
Because you had your ass handed to you in The Godfather. However, outside of that movie.
Yeah.
Only in the movies that it would happen.
Right. You shot a guy, you punched a cat, giant cat.
You'd have kicked James Caan's ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Unreal.
Jimmy Caan, what a joke.
Yep.
He thinks he's Sonny Corleone yet.
Yep.
He's
Thank you for stopping yourself right there.
Yeah, hello.
You should call and make him pee himself.
There was a story that popped up on the internet. Something about $86 million, 3 banks, 6 hours.
It was 6 banks in 3 hours.
Six.
Get it right.
Damn.
As the bank said, damn.
What happened?
What happened is, I was good friends with Parveen Modaba Jacobs. Her husband was my doctor in Vegas, and we knew them for years. This is like when I was in my 20s, and they knew I was, transferring money from everybody in Vegas knew what I was doing with the casinos. So she called me, said, my father has a problem. And I met him numerous times. General Modaba, he was the general of the Tehran army for the Pasha, the Shah, And so with that, I called, and her father told me what was going on, and they knew the Khomeini was going to take over. So he said, do you think we could help us? I said, yeah. I said, I'll come over with my partner. That's Nick Nitti, the famous Frank Nitti. This is his son. We were partners for like 11 years. So we fly to Tehran. I love going to Tehran anyway because I knew Gagouche and the Copacabana over there. So
what
we
is
never
that?
Did any business with them.
Gagouche?
It's a club.
You remember Gagouche? Great. She was better than Streisand. In fact, I brought her to America. She sang at Caesar's Palace. But anyway.
Sounds like a work in a Queen
short,
song.
I thought it was a dish.
I talked to them, and I said, where is your money? They said, all over the world. I said, well, order it to come here. They said, what are you talking about? I said, bring it all back to Tehran. And we could handle it. They drove me around. It was like an army detail, because I was the general of the army. And so, thank God, Nick and I, we chartered an Alitalia plane, a small plane, went to Sicily to pick up. We needed like, 8 guys. So we went to Sicily, picked them up, came back. And before we left Sicily, we bought all these soccer, the football over there, soccer, not football as we know, but their equipment bags are huge. So we put them on the plane. We had a detail. We had 6 trucks, 6 crews, and each one of us got in a crew. We left 2 on the plane, and we had wheels up at 4 o'clock on this particular day, and we started hitting the banks at 1 o'clock. And we wiped out all their money. And as we were going to the airport, I was the last.
You had permission to take their money, right?
Oh, yeah, they told us to take it.
Yeah. Right?
But, you know, we had letters with the banks. But what was interesting, as we were going towards the airport, Half-Track started passing us.
Oops.
And the Khomeini was about to close down the airlines, the whole.
This is like
so
one of those movies
I'm
where
the last
you're going to be
car.
Stuck.
Fortunately, our plane was already on the tarmac at the end of the runway because wheels were up at 4 o'clock. We were like 10 to 4. So I reach in the duffel bag and I hand this guy, I don't know how much Rand, the driver, he was in the Army. And I gave him this money. I said, make a right-hand turn. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you can't go to the gate. It's a mile down the block. Go through that anchor fence, because he had this thing could take down anything.
Yeah.
He dragged the anchor fence to the plane all the way through. And we got out. As we were throwing the duffel bags on the plane, I got up on the steps. The steps were coming up behind me, and we took off. We were 10 minutes later, and if we were in an American plane, they would have shot it down.
We would not be
talking. It's going to be a great scene in my TV show.
Wow.
And I was just flipping through your book last night. You know, you're the easiest person to prep for, Gianni. I grab the book. I open it to any random page.
Yeah.
I look for a sentence or through a sentence or two. I'm like, right there.
First paragraph, page 72. No,
it's not like I have to flip through a million pages to find a good story.
Blah, 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 yeah.
So one of the pages I flipped on yesterday was the Pope's funeral.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pope John, when he passed, I got invited because I was good friends with Bishop Marcinkus. He was the head fiduciary for the Vatican Bank, which the only branch in the United States was the Banca di Roma. Nobody figured that out yet. But anyway, and that was Chicago controlled. So he invited us. We were there a lot. It was there about twice a month to the Vatican.
You guys would launder money through?
Yeah, the Vatican. The Vatican, well, that's a known fact. I mean, even Mario Puzo wrote it in the book. But we were taking about $20 million a month out of Vegas, Nick Nitti and I. And but legally, I became a legal courier. I was bonded by Lloyds of London and everything. You couldn't even stop me at an airport and show you a letter.
Nice.
Unless you had a warrant for my arrest, you couldn't touch me.
Wow.
So I played it right. Everybody else thought, you know, I was just doing this illegally. I was doing it legally, and everybody knew it. So he invited me to the funeral. So he said, why don't you come back when you're back next month? We'll have a new pope come to the, you know, ordination. I said, I would love to. So I didn't know it, and I could see when, you know, the whole thing was going on. There was all kinds of, and when they picked this one guy who was so conservative to be the pope, this cardinal, they thought maybe this whole deal was going to go to the wayside. And they couldn't convince him that, you know, what we're doing is legal. So somebody gave him tea one night, and that was the end of that. And then I became...
Wait,
by tea?
Right.
What do you mean?
They gave him the ultimate sleepy.
So yeah. you were at...
And then fortunately, we got John Paul II, who was the greatest pope, I think, in the world. I mean,
yeah.
I had the pleasure of spending so much time with him.
Really?
I traveled with him when he was in the United States. I was part of his attaché.
Really? That's so wild.
Which is another whole hour story.
you act different around a pope like that? Like, or just a pope?
Well, you say God bless
you. With a pope.
You know, when you sneeze. Right.
What language did you guys speak?
There's pictures of me with the pope in my book. Everybody, when they read my book and they say, oh, come on, this is exaggerated. Then they turn the page, there's a picture of me and the pope.
Yeah, and there it is. Yeah. Unreal.
Yep.
Well, it's been great. Really great.
I would think when you're
and the good news, like tonight, we just talked about my podcast. Tonight, I just hired Chaz Palminteri to write 3 episodes of my TV show.
Get
he has that flavor from Bronxdale.
What?
Yeah. Oh, great.
Oh, no. That's who I'm hired. I hired George Gallo also, who directed and wrote 29th Street. And he also, he did so many great things, George Gallo, but basically behind the scenes, not so much like Chaz. So Chaz and George are on my podcast tonight talking about what they're writing with Nick Vallelongo, who who wrote Green Book and won the Oscars. So I want the guys, if you don't smell of oil and garlic, you can't be on my writing team.
That's me on a good day.
Yeah.
And so it'll be live tonight, or the first time you're running it is tonight?
No. I'm recording it, and it'll go out in March. I'm so far in advance. I do 2 shows every Monday, but you can go on my website, and you'll see who's already been on. They're all up, as you know. This is my 3rd year since my book came out. I just entered my 3rd year. I have 110 hours up, and now what we're doing with the 10-hour miniseries. If the ratings are good, they want to start using the podcast, even some of those stories, and maybe we'll get a 5-year run out of it if the ratings stay up.
Great move to get Jess Palminteri to write for you. And we got a roll here, Gianni, but next Monday I want to focus on some of the mob stuff because I'm fascinated that at such a young age you're taken under very, very world-famous mobster's wing, and I just want to know all the things that you learned,
yeah,
the ceremony and all
that. Next week, because it really wasn't a young age. Most people didn't know that Carlo Gambino was made when he was 16 in Sicily. He was a made man.
Wow.
At 16.
Overachiever.
At 16.
Wow.
So that they thought, you know, just to give a cliffhanger, they thought because I killed a guy when I was 12, I'm a perfect candidate.
It got you noticed.
I can't wait till next Monday. Awesome. Gianni, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny.
Oh, guys, I appreciate it, man. God bless you all.
Ronaldo Leonard.
Ronaldo, I request some Burger King.
He went to Jack in the Box.
I miss Jack in the Box. I do too. I was so stealing ambulance for Jack in the Box.
Wow.
What?
I would so steal an ambulance for Jack in the Box.
You would?
I would. Oh, the super tacos were awesome. The breakfast Jack, the bonus Jack.
I'm trying to think of what was the signature.
The Frings.
The Frings.
Remember Super Taco Tuesdays? Yeah.
No.
Oh, the super tacos were awesome, man. They were like, and they were the good tacos, too. It wasn't like the kind, like, you know, that cookie cutter, the tortilla shells that they had in the corn shells. This was stuff they fried it, man. It was like dripping. The bag was see-through, and it was awesome.
He tried the Ashley method there with the clap.
Guys, did I help?
I'm very excited about Jack in
the Box. Oh, man. Jack in the Box, that's where every night ended. If you didn't get laid, you went to Jack in the Box. I went to Jack in the Box all the time.
That sounds like code for something. If you didn't get laid, you went to Jack in the Box.
Yeah, it was a Jack in the Box. Yeah,
the Jack was out of the box.
It is kind of funny. I have Jack, but yeah. No. But yeah, remember the Frings they used to have? It was onion rings and fries together. Then they had the crispy burritos.
I must have missed out on something.
What was their signature burger? When I went there, I went and got the burger.
The Bonus Jack was this really, really big hamburger.
Bonus Jack. I don't remember that.
And the Breakfast Jack was cool because it was on an onion roll. It had eggs, cheese, bacon, and Canadian bacon.
Wow.
It's killer. But, again, to the third.
It's all about AJ.
It's all about finding that guy and kicking his freaking ass.
Stuffing him in a box.
Yeah, I'm going to Jack in the Box him. Right. It's all about.
It's all about.
And then you're going to hear the sound of a shovel digging dirt.
Then you hear him say,
right. One quick kick to the ribs after.
There was somewhere in the 90s, they had some problem with their meat.
Yes, the Ralston Purina Company. If you looked at the bag, it said Ralston Purina Company, which is what you saw when you're half-stoned, drunk, and you're looking at their bag. It says, wait a minute, Ralston Purina Company, that's dog food. But there was a thing about kangaroo meat, supposedly.
No. There was something where people were getting explosive diarrhea after they
that ate. Was any time you ate Jack in a Box.
But
there was a thing with kangaroo meat, I remember. Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
I'm not all to die. Wow. The kangaroo meat. Wow.
You okay?
No. No.
What happened?
That coffee kicked in.
I don't know. You said super taco, and then just everything went haywire.
You know what?
Haywire.
After the whole Falcon joke, I just kind of
that was a great joke.
I got amped. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll go back to sleep over here.
The nearest to us look like Cincinnati or Charlotte.
Yeah, there used to be some around here.
I don't know if it was when I was doing overnights here or the night show between 90 and 94. There was a story in the news of Jack in the Box, and people were having, like, explosive diarrhea. I don't know if it was, what's that meat problem when you don't cook them enough?
Ebola?
Yeah.
Ebola.
I would Google it, but I don't know how to spell diarrhea.
Why did you just admit that?
We just need...
Who knows how to spell diarrhea?
How do you spell it?
It is a tough word.
I'll help you spell it. A-S-H.
Not funny. No, that, you know, one
we
sucked,
need,
AJ.
L-A-Y. Says, we need a button. I need a button right here. The sounds of stupid.
Do you know how to spell diarrhea?
No, I really don't.
D-I-A-H-R-R-E-A-H or something.
You put
like
the
that?
H on the wrong side.
See, it's hard.
Diarrhea. It's diarrhea.
I bet AJ could tell us 17 diarrhea jokes in a row, though.
No, I cannot. I can't just run through those. But
what?
Run through those.
That was good.
Thank you.
That's one.
Thank you.
16 more to go.
Yeah, I'm good.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi. Yo.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Again. Hello.
Hi. You're on, brother.
Hello again.
Hey, I want to say, this is Chris, first of all, from Chris and Roy's.
Oh,
and
Chris.
I just wanted to say, I agree with AJ. I love Jack in the Box. There was one on Deer Park Avenue, I believe, right?
Oh, my God. Deer Park Avenue. Right. Yeah, exactly. There was Deer Park Avenue. There was one over in Bayshore, Babylon. There was Port Jefferson. There was and there was a Talkin'.
Yeah. I used to love that place. Those tacos were delicious.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Taco Tuesday was awesome.
They had cheese in them and everything. They deep fried them with cheese in them.
Yep. It was nice and melted.
Deep fried them.
And then they gave you the taco sauce. I mean, it went home looking a mess.
That, extra.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yep.
Deep fried.
Good stuff.
This is
what
before
happened
it was
to them?
Yeah.
They just faded.
They're still open, but
they're
just
still
not sun. Around
what
here.
What did they deep fry a mouse or something like that?
No. Although I had
that was McDonald's.
I had some sketchy friends who worked on occasion, but yeah.
Well, when you have a million places making food and, you know, some of those folks are making, very little money, you're going to have things happen.
It was so. Very minimum wage back then. Very,
it was very minimum wage.
Yeah, they were delicious.
Like
they were good guys.
Hour,
hey,
yeah.
man. Hey. Thanks for taking the call, man. I'll talk to you guys.
Thank you,
man.
Brother. Hold on. We have Trucker Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Long time no hear.
Yo.
Good to hear your voice.
Hey, Jack in the Box had a salmonella outbreak back then. They
salmonella, that was it.
They had
That's
a big thing
E-coli.
That almost, yeah, that, they almost E-coli? Had E-coli. Almost shut down yeah. everything.
Yeah.
Salmonella, E. coli, same thing. It's basically the same, but
yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah, you don't want either of them. That's a good point.
But you know what? Most fast food places go through that crap anyway. So.
Can you look that up, though?
1993.
Yeah, there you
Major
go.
Major corporate crisis. Yeah.
But do me a favor. Look up the kangaroo meat also.
It was horse meat. AJ was right about that. 1981, horse meat labeled as beef was discovered at a food maker plant.
It almost closed them. It almost closed the whole business. Like, they almost went bankrupt because of it.
I remember those days.
You know what I love is that AJ heard that. AJ heard all this stuff. He's like, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, no.
Taco Tuesday.
It tastes great, yeah.
Super tacos!
I didn't mind. I counted with my foot for a couple days.
Thank you, Steve.
How do you count to 10? 1, 2, 3.
All right, so what did you find? So,
what?
There's a whole page on their Wikipedia entry, Controversies. In 1981, they did have a horse meat issue. Horse meat that was labeled as beef was discovered at a food maker plant that supplied hamburger and taco meat to Jack in the Box.
That's horrible.
Yep.
You should go out of business.
But you know something?
That.
I ran.
It was mislabeled. It doesn't sound like that was entirely their fault.
I could run for days, though. It was great.
The food inspectors discovered other shipments destined for the United States, which also included kangaroo meat. Never actually made it to the plant, but AJ was right about that. And then the E. coli outbreak, 1993, 4 children died.
Oh.
And 600 others were reported sick after eating undercooked patties contaminated with fecal material.
Oh!
This is why this guy stole an ambulance and drove to Jack in a Box.
He was just making
I'm
sure.
Need it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'll eat a burger and get my taco. Yeah.
This was at
and then I'm going to walk into the back of the ambulance.
Right.
This was all at the Tacoma, Washington, and Pacific Northwest region.
He brought his own hospital bed.
Nice. See? Yeah. That's like thinking ahead. That's thinking ahead.
That is good planning.
To get outside of the Jack in the Box.
Yep. The guy's 36. He stole the ambulance. He drove 4 miles, went to Jack in the Box, got in the drive-thru lane with the vehicle's emergency lights still on.
I would.
Wow.
Cops arrived on the scene almost immediately, took him into custody. No word yet on why the suspect may have wanted the ambulance in the first place. Well, he's going to Jack in the Box.
Duh.
Duh.
Duh. I could so go for Jack in the Box right now. That was good stuff, man. Horse meat, kangaroo meat, E. coli, whatever. Who cares? Was good.
Oh, my wow. God, AJ.
That was good stuff. No, yeah. That's how you live back then. We're all a bunch of wussies back then. Back then, you ate something, you got sick, and you kept on going.
Right.
It's E. coli.
Like, oh, my God, I know someone who got sick. I'm never going to eat there ever again. No.
If somebody died in line in front of you, you just stepped right over them.
Right.
Or say, are you going to finish that? And you took their taco right out of their
hand. Exactly right. You just cut off the part where they bit you and finished the rest of it.
It doesn't bother you, AJ, that E. coli comes from fecal matter?
Have you seen most of the food we eat?
It was the most tasty fecal matter on the planet.
Back then, exactly. That's why we're still alive, because our systems have been tempered with the stuff. What is your problems?
I like how you pluralized it.
Yeah, what is your problems? Which makes the most sense, really, when you think about it.
Well, there's more than one person there. So.
Yeah. Think about, you know, how many times do you think you encounter strangers' fecal matter in a day?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Are you kidding
me? Zero.
Yeah.
Zero?
Really?
No, zero.
You're wrong.
You're the one who licked your friggin' phone.
There's no fecal matter on my phone.
Oh, really?
You're the most wrong.
Well, only my own. Only my own.
That's why.
You go in the ladies' room?
That's why it was in the song.
What about Darby's?
Oh, Darby's is fine. Mine and Darby's is fine.
You would take a piece of Darby's fecal matter, put it in your mouth?
No.
You just said it's fine.
But by accident, if it happens.
Oh, okay. You're
okay. I thought it was a Hershey's Kiss on the floor. Sorry.
Is that not a Reese's Pieces?
Right. No, it's Reese's Feces.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the Mighty 99.1 PLR.